Yeah. So welcome, man. So glad that you are. Glad that you're here today. Bethel, people that are attending in person, let's put our hands together and let our online viewers know that we love them and we welcome them too. So thanks for being here. We're going to continue in our series. We've been talking about the exceeding goodness of God, how he exceeds our expectations, how we think maybe he's going to do this, but he always does more. How many of you know we serve a God that always does more? Can you say a good amen? Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, I hope that you were here. How many of you were here a couple of weeks ago and you heard my man, Mike Harper, preaching up here? Yeah, give him a little love. So yeah, what a great day. I hope you understand why I love him, and I hope you understand the influence that he's had on me and he's had on this congregation. And it was so powerful what he shared with us. He challenged us. He was here for our 25th year anniversary, and so he challenged us out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, actually, and we're Pentecostal people. Somebody say amen. And we're Pentecostal people, and we love the book of Acts, and we love Acts chapter 2. It's when the first time the fullness of the Holy Spirit was poured out, and these people were filled with power and courage and boldness. It was the greatest revival at that time. It was the first exceeding move of God. 3,000 people got saved in one sermon that day. It was this awesome moment. And so Mike challenged us, if we want the next 25 years to be better than the previous 25 years, he challenged us with three things. And I'll give you just a little bit of review. And the first thing he said is, when God is going to do exceeding things, he looks for people who have intense devotion. Can I just challenge you? If you want to see the greatest things of God, you and I have to make a choice, not just on Sunday to get up and come to church. We have to make a choice every day and say, I am going to be intensely devoted to the things of God. I'm going to be intensely devoted to read the Word of God. Can I just challenge you? If you want to grow and you want to be more and you want to see the great things of God, you're going to have to carve out some time in your weekly schedule to read the Word of God. How many of you know there is power in the Word of God? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. You choose. You figure something out. You carve out some time. Some of you may say, I'm going to read 25 chapters a day. And I would say, God bless you. Some of you may say, I'm going to read 25 verses. Some of you may say, I'm just going to start out with little bitty bite-sized pieces, and I'm going to read 5 or 6 verses. And I would say this, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Listen to the Spirit, let him lead you, and read the Word of God. It will transform your life. You got to be intensely devoted to the things of God. And here's something else. You got to be intensely devoted to the people that you live life with. You got to love other people. You're not just following God. You're not just devoted to God so that you can receive all the blessings. You are being devoted to God so that God will shine his light through you, and it will transform your marriage and your family and the people that you're around. I am preaching the paint off the walls, and I'm 3 minutes in today. We got to be intensely devoted. Mike challenged us, once you become devoted to God, then you need to become irrationally generous. We need to be givers. How many of you know our world is full of enough takers? And the Bible teaches us this, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about our time, our treasures, our talent. Just be a giver in everyday life. And lastly, Mike challenged us, if you want to continue to see the exceeding power of God, we must be people that are committed to boldly share the love of Jesus Christ. Boldly committed to share every day. And those things, if you and I will do those things, if you and I will be devoted, it will be generous, and it will share the good news, it will bring exceeding joy to our lives. It'll bring exceeding peace. It'll bring exceeding growth, exceeding families. It will bring an exceeding impact to the world that we live in. So here's the question that we're going to answer today. What is my role and what is your role? What is my responsibility and what is your responsibility as the body of Christ to continue our lives to see the exceeding power of God? Because here's the deal. I want you to hear this. When God moves, has God moved in anybody's life over here at Bethel Assembly? Because when God moves, we don't just celebrate it, we steward that move of God. We don't just come to church and go, wow, everything is better. Praise God, man. We got a band and a fiddle and Connor and the drums, and we're just celebrating those things. We don't just celebrate it. Celebration is good, but once we celebrate the move of God in our life, we begin to steward that move so that it continues to grow and continues to take place in our life. We got to steward the move of God. So let's get started. Mike challenged us in Acts 2. Holy Spirit fell. Peter preached. 3,000 people get saved. What happens next? What? The Bible is our model. It's what we should live our lives to be like. So let's read Acts 3 and see what happened after the first exceeding movement of God in the new church. Acts chapter 3. We're going to start in verse number 1. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, Peter and John were going to the temple. They were going to the church at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb his whole life was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he could beg for alms of those who were going into the church. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the church, he began to ask them to receive some money. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him. He paid attention to this guy. He fixed his gaze on him, and he said, "Look at us." And he began to give his attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I'm a broke son of a buck. I do not possess, I don't have any silver or any gold, but what I do have, I give it to you. In the name of Christ Jesus the Nazarene, rise up and walk." And he seized him by the right hand. He raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he went into the church with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to be crippled that sat at the Beautiful gate begging for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Holy Spirit, anoint me to speak your words. Holy Spirit, open ears, open hearts, open minds. Speak to us today. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Acts chapter 2 ends with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 3 begins with this one simple word, obedience. It begins with obedience. Obedience requires action. And so Peter and John are obedient to leave the church. Peter and John are being obedient. The Spirit moved in power. And now we're going to see, are these people going to continue in consistency in being devoted to the things of God? Never, ever underestimate the power of consistency. Never underestimate the power of consistency. If I'm telling you the truth, and I have been pastoring for 25 years based on my experience, lots of Christians are like a Roman candle. Shoo! The Lord moves, lights their fuse. Come on, somebody. Shoo! They shoot up for a while. They're excited for a while. They attend church for a while. They read the Word of God for a while. And then when things don't go their way, or somebody hurts their feelings, or their prayers don't get answered, or the church doesn't do exactly what they think the church ought to do, they fizzle out. Can I tell you what God wants from you and I? Consistency. Consistency. I'm going to wake up today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in him. This is Sunday. This is the Lord's day. I'm going to get up and go to the house of God today. This is the day. I'm going to get up and I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm telling you, our lives, mine and yours, would be changed if we would practice consistency in our Christian faith. Consistency. So here we go. The only way the move of God is going to continue is if we continue in what brought the move of God. That's the only way. Peter and John didn't ride this emotional high of Pentecost. Don't you know they had some church up in there that day?
There's 120 of them. They're praying. They're seeking God. The Holy Spirit falls with fire and tongues, and 3,000 people get saved. Don't you know it would have been easy for them just to hang out in the church and keep celebrating? But they said, no, we got to steward this. They had something, it's like fire shut up in my bones, said the prophet Jeremiah. The 120, the 3,120 said, what God has done in me, I can't hold it in. I got to get out and share it with the world. They had a devotion to God and a devotion to people in their lives. Verse 1 says, they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. They were going to church. They kept showing up. They kept going to church. Look at me. Look, 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 look. You need to go to church. Online, you need to go to church. Just saying, if you're able. Thank God for online, but nothing is a good substitute for gathering together physically and worshiping God together. Church is empowered. Church is powerful. Church is so important. I am better when I hang out with you, and you're better when you hang out with me, Cole. Just saying. Church is important. It's a place we can come and dedicate to God. And so Peter and John said, you know what? We're going to go back to church. They kept showing up. Here's the deal. We cannot expect exceeding results from God if we stop practicing exceeding devotion. That really was good. They kept going to church. They kept prioritizing. They kept prioritizing and praying. Listen to me. Can I say something to you? Imagine being in the first century church. It's 120 of them. They know each other. They are friends. They've been locked in the upper room together for 10 days. Everything is comfortable. They know where everybody sat in that upper room church. They knew the routines. They knew what was usual. But if we're going to see an exceeding move of God like the book of Acts, do you know that the church went from 120 to 3,120 overnight? Can I tell you, it probably wasn't real comfortable in that place. Can I tell you, it was crowded in that place. Can I tell you, somebody stole somebody's seat in that place. Can I tell you, there were people that didn't know one another in that place. And I'm going to tell you something, because I'm just being real with you. We get it all the time, and I don't understand it, because we pray for souls to be saved, and we pray for the church to grow and for God to add to the church daily, and then some people complain and gripe because the church is too big and it's too crowded. What the heck is wrong with you? It ain't like it used to be, and it's different, and they do things different. But here's what I want you to see about the first century church, about our model. They were hungry for more of God. And we have to make up our mind. If we want to see exceeding, we must choose hunger over comfort. Let me say it again. We must choose hunger for the things of God over our own personal comfort. Peter and John were on their way to the church. And outside the gate, outside the door, there sat a man who was crippled. He'd been crippled his whole life. Somebody had to pick him up and carry him around everywhere. He couldn't move. He was paralyzed. He wasn't inside the church. Notice this. He was not in the church. He was outside of the church. He wasn't part of their service. I want you to see that in this story, the miracle started outside the church and not inside the church. I said the miracle happened outside the church and not inside the church. I want to just take a moment and take a quick time out and say this. I think it's funny. Not funny. I think it's ironic that this man had been lame his whole life. Obviously, he had great parents, and they had tried doctors, and they had tried physicians, and they had tried chiropractors, and they had tried modern drugs at that time. Obviously, they had tried everything to get this man to where he would no longer be lame and paralyzed, and nothing was changing. But as a final result, they brought him to the door of the church. Somehow, they knew deep down that the church, the blood-bought church, and the power of Jesus Christ, somehow they knew that this is where he was going to get his miracle and his breakthrough. Never underestimate the power of the local church. Can I tell you something important?
If we're intensely devoted, God will set up divine opportunities, not just in this building, but on our way to this building and throughout our weekly lives, for us to come into contact with someone that's crippled and they need the hope that you and I know. Peter and John, they could have just walked past this guy. The scripture says they had laid him down by the gate daily. Probably they had walked by him many times. They could have just walked past him that day. They could have said, oh, we're just busy. Our schedules, I don't have enough time. We're headed to prayer. They could have thought in their mind, I've got some place to be. But somehow at this moment, two believers filled with the Spirit of God, fire shut up in their bones, they noticed this man. Can I say this to you? I love church, and I talk about church a lot. But can I tell you this? Religion always rushes us, but revival always notices problems around us. They stopped. Revival was happening, and they noticed him. And the man says, hey, Peter, how about some money, brother? How about a $10 bill? How about a $20 bill? How about one of them hundreds? Acts 3:4. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. What did Peter give this guy first? What's the first thing Peter gave this guy? He gave him his attention. Here's what Mike Harper told us when he was here 2 weeks ago. Attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. Some people don't need your money. They just need our attention. And it is to stop and see them where they are and love them where they are. There's another thing in here. This is so full of so many great little nuggets and gems. Think about Peter. Peter, the Apostle Peter, is one of my favorite apostles because he reminds me of me. Because he was a knucklehead. And one day he's walking on water, and the next day he's denying Jesus Christ. Peter is a knucklehead. Peter and John were walking together. John, what about John? John was a suck-up. He's the one that always wanted to sit by Jesus and laid his head over and listen to Jesus. These guys are polar opposites. One's full of vinegar, and the other one is a little soft. I mean, like, Peter probably wore boots and John probably wore skinny jeans. Come on, somebody. They're so different in so many ways. But they said, you know what? We're not going to look at our differences in the world. We're going to unify under the power of Jesus Christ, and we're going to go out together and shine the light. And the reason I'm telling you that is this. It matters who you hang out with. Peter had just denied Jesus a few weeks earlier, but in this moment, that's when he was by himself. But in this moment, when he's with his friend and they're unifying under the blood and the gospel and the power of God, Peter now has boldness to speak to a crippled guy walking into the church. I am better when I'm around my friends that sharpen me. I have more boldness when I'm around somebody that has a like faith. Peter stopped and gave him his attention. Can I just tell you before I move on about your attention? Your spouse needs your attention. Your kids, more than anything, you want to be generous to your kids. You don't have to buy them all the name brand clothes or a new vehicle to drive. Your parents, your kids need your attention. The world needs our attention. Our coworkers need our attention. The hurting people need the church to pay attention to them. The disengaged need you and I to just pay attention to them. People are starving for somebody to just look at them and pay attention to them. Peter didn't just throw him any coins. Peter gave him his presence and his attention. And then Peter said something really bold. Peter said something really powerful. Here's where he said, I'm broke, Jack. I got no money. Peter said, I don't have anything as far as money to give you. Don't miss this, y'all. We can't give what we don't possess. Peter didn't possess any money, so he couldn't give any money. Peter didn't have money, but Peter had been with Jesus. Let me read you this scripture, Acts 4:13. This is how the scripture describes Peter and John. Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, there again, they're together, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, These were not college graduates. These were not seminary students. These were not, they were unlearned and ignorant men. And the people marveled and they took knowledge of them because they could see they had spent time with Jesus. Can I tell you what your qualification is to go out in the world and shine the light? Can I tell you what my qualification is to get up here and preach? Can I tell you? It is not education. It is not status. It is not platform. I'm going to tell you what our qualification is, this, that we have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have been adopted in the family of God, picked up out of the miry clay, set on the solid rock to stay. And when we have spent time with Jesus, we are qualified to share Jesus. That's the qualification. That's all we need. Listen to me, y'all. If we don't spend time with the Lord and we don't spend time in the Word of God, we got nothing but a few dollars to give people out there. Can I tell you, Peter could have given that guy $100,000 million that day, and he had still been a cripple that somebody had to pick up and carry to the church every day of his life. But Peter said, you know what? It ain't about money, but what I got, I give you. And this man's life was absolutely changed forever because Peter was willing to give what he had. Programs won't save people. Talent won't heal people. Personality won't transform people, but Jesus will. He said, silver and gold have I none. He reached out and grabbed him by the hand. But in the name of Jesus Christ, what I do have, stand up. And the man was healed. How many of you know Jesus still heals people? He heals us physically. I understand this story was physical healing, but God still heals physically. God still heals emotionally. God still heals mentally. God is a healing God. Peter grabs his hand and the man stands up. And what did the man do next? I love this part. Ran into the church. Come on, somebody. He didn't get up little by little and take a few weak steps. Immediately, he jumped up. He was strengthened. He was transformed, and he ran inside the church, walking, leaping, and praising God. Can I tell you something right quick? You know what every church needs? Some brand new believers who've been touched by Jesus. That's what we need. Because you know what? When we get saved radically, or we get healed radically, you know what? We have a joy that will just burst the ceiling off of this place. We have an excitement. We have a passion. We're going to sing. We don't care what songs they sing. We don't care what Cody preached. You're fired up. So you just proved my point. Because I remember some of you jack wagons when you first got saved. And you came into this church, and boy, by God, you was clapping. You was excited. I could say Jesus, and you'd go, amen, preacher. And now, here's what you look like. When Connor sings a song, and she saw it on the fiddle and playing it hot and everything great, you look like this. And I preach, and you ever seen a dog? Let me give you this example. You ever seen a dog, and he'd just be sitting here and go like this? That's what most of you look like when I'm preaching to you these days. Can you imagine this temple? In my mind, this is an old school temple. They're pretty reverent. They're pretty. And this guy, all of a sudden, comes running into church, leaping and shouting and praising God. And can I tell you, our joy and our passion and our excitement for what Jesus has done in our life is contagious, and it'll take over the world. We need some people to come get in this church that are excited about Jesus. Just saying. Let me give you something else. Can I give you something else? Data proves the longer a church is in existence, the closer it grows to stagnation. Data proves it. You look it up. You Google it on the way home if you want to. The longer a church stays in existence, the more we become dry, The more we become critical, the more we become religious, the more we lose the joy of our salvation and the fire of the Holy Spirit. It is proven. But I'm going to tell you, we're not going to be that kind of church at Bethel. We're going to be some folks that say, God saved me and God brought me from a mighty long way, and I'm not going to lose my joy, and no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. I'm going to be more devoted when Jesus calls me home than he was when he saved me. Save my soul. Here's what I want to say. The next exceeding move of God will start much like it did in the scripture. When two unlearned and ignorant people, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit of God, it's going to start with two folks and some hurting people outside of the church. It's not going to be when Connor leads worship. It's not going to be when I preach. It's going to be when two devoted believers, unlearned and ignorant, but have spent time with Jesus, have a fire shut up in their bones, and they go out in the world and they begin to see things differently, and no longer are they mad at the guy holding up a sign at the red light in Abilene. No longer are they cussing somebody for being lazy and not working and being broke. No longer do we look at them through the lens of you're just living off of this and living off of that. We're going to look at people and see them hurting and far from God, and it's going to motivate us to reach out and give what we do have. That's when revival is going to start. We make this bold obedience. It'll lead to transformed lives. And you know what else happened? The church was filled with awe and wonder when the person got saved. God was glorified. What does that mean for us? Let's break it down. If God sends growth, can I lay it out there right quick? You know why Bethel has grown? Not because of Connor. As good as he is. You know why Bethel has grown? Not because of Cody. As good looking as he is. You know why Bethel has grown? Because God gave us the increase and we were hungry to see more of God. That's why Bethel has grown. And here's the deal. If God sends growth, things are going to change. So can I be like really frank with you? Get over yourself and your selfish ways and know that things are going to change because growth always brings change, and I'm okay with that. Oh, y'all got quiet. If God moves, things are going to stretch. If lives are transformed, it won't always look like it used to. We must decide. Here's the question I'll start to wind down with. Are we going to be consumers or are we going to be contributors? Are we going to be consumers or are we going to be contributors and steward the move of God well? Do we want comfort or are we hungry? Because exceeding doesn't come and it doesn't continue through spectators. It only grows when people are intensely devoted, when they're irrationally generous, and they love boldly and share Jesus Christ. What do we got to do? We got to keep gathering. We got to keep praying. We got to keep worshiping. We got to keep opening the Bible. We got to keep giving attention. We got to keep sharing Jesus. We can't give what we don't have. So I know today some of you are struggling. Some of you are going through some tough times. And if you're feeling empty and if you're feeling dry, and can I tell you something? The answer to your problems and the answer to my problems is spend some time with Jesus. It's a game changer. Cornbread, y'all come help me close this thing. I love that song that we sang a while ago. My faith was built for this. Come on, somebody. My faith, my salvation, I was built for this. Brick by brick, day by day, I'm going to glorify God. I wasn't built to be comfortable. I was built and I was called a soldier. I was built and I was called to be a warrior. I was built to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's the bottom line. The world doesn't need Bethel to have any bigger buildings or have any more money. The world needs Bethel to have more Jesus. And then give what we have. Here's a question for you. Who's sitting outside your gate called beautiful? Who is in your life that you've walked by maybe for days or years and they're crippled? Mentally, they're crippled in their heart, they're crippled in their body. Who's in your life? Who's in my life? I'm telling you, I got a couple of people on my heart that I know they're going through hell on earth right now, and the Lord has challenged me to give them my attention. Who's setting out by your gate? Who do you work with? Which family member is it? Who's asking for one thing, but really God wants to give them another thing? I want to say this. I believe God's fixing to do some exceeding stuff in our lives. And I want you to hear me on this. The next move of God will not start in this cool facility, and it's not going to start on this platform right here. It's going to start when the body of Christ, unlearned and ignorant, filled with the Holy Spirit boldness, reach out to someone that's outside the church and we give them Jesus. That's when the next move is going to start. Start with two believers, one outsider. It'll start one when someone in this room locks eyes with someone that's hurting and we say to them, in the name of Jesus, let's rise up. I want to make a commitment to you. Can I make a commitment to you? I think you need to have excellent church services. I think you need to have excellent worship. You need to be prepared. I think you need to have excellent sermons. You need to study and pray. And you have to have good leadership to make this organization work. And I will commit to you, we're going to do everything we've got to serve the body of Christ and to serve God with excellence. We're not going to go down. We're going to go up. And my challenge to you is this. Will you join up with the move that God has done in our life and say, you know what? I'm going to serve with excellence when I walk out those church doors, and I'm going to boldly proclaim the good news and the love of Jesus Christ with an intense devotion and an irrational generosity. I'm telling you, it will be a total game changer. I'm almost done. This message convicted me too. Because I think I can say this for Cornbread, and I think I can say it for Cole too, and everybody on staff here at church, all the leaders at church, my family. Sometimes the Lord pushes me and urges me to share the good news. And you know what? Sometimes I say to the Lord, well, I preach the good news every Sunday morning, Lord. Sometimes I hide behind my office, or I hide behind my title, or I hide behind, and the Lord is calling me, Cody. I used a jackass to preach in the Old Testament, and you're living proof I still can do that on Sunday. God's not interested in my performance on Sunday or how great this is. God is interested if we lead an organization and a body of people that say we will not be status quo, but we will all take our responsibility and we'll be the body of Christ. How many of you know the body is so important? And the scripture teaches us that even if the pinky toe gets hurt, you walk around just a little off. Come on, somebody. Or if you hit your thumb with a hammer, you're a little bit off. It takes the whole body coming together, walking in unity with a vision and a purpose to shine the light of Jesus Christ. And if you and I will commit to do that, we'll be knocking another wall out over here. And not who cares about knocking out wall? We're going to populate heaven with people that are far from God that have the hope and the joy that we now have. And heaven is going to rejoice. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. We'll close with a prayer, and then we'll sing a song of worship. I realize I'm pushing you. Great leaders push. Great leaders don't let someone stay stagnant, stay status quo. Some of you say, Cody, I'm just not real good at sharing my faith. Listen to me, I'm not asking you to become a preacher. I'm not asking you to sell your house and commit to be a foreign missionary. I'm asking you for the people that are already in your life. You already have a relationship. People that you talk about roping with. People that you talk about baking bread with. People that you talk about golf with and the weather and the politics and government. I'm talking about the people around us. That's who God's asking us to share with. Maybe say, Cody, I'm just not good at talking about the Lord. The enemy has come in and lied to you and told you that. You can talk about everything else. Why can't we talk about the Lord? But you say, Cody, today I hear this message and I want to be better. I want to share my faith. I understand today that I'm qualified by the blood of Jesus. It's because I spent time with him. Listen, you don't have to quote scripture, preach sermons. Just share your story and share what God's done in your life. Give him Jesus. If you say, I want to be better and I want to do more, I just want you to raise your hand. Let the Lord see it today, and we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for all of us that raised our hands. Father, thank you for everybody that raised their hands in here today that want to be contributors to the kingdom of God, that want to reach out. Lord, let us not be awkward. Let us not be weird and pushy. Let us be real. Let us take our personalities and our God-given charisma and our gift and just love people. Let us just love people where they are, and let us share what Christ has done in our life. Let us give the world hope. Lord, I thank you that this is an infectious movement, and that if everybody could see what I'm seeing, Lord, and what you're seeing, 500 hands raised up, how powerful it's going to be, God, in just a few months when these 500 people have reached somebody outside of the church and somebody comes running in here celebrating and leaping and praising God because they've been saved and they've been born again. Thank you, Lord, that you give us all a part in the body of Christ. Fill us with the same Holy Spirit. Surround us with friends that will encourage us and push us. Thank you, Father. We look forward to seeing your results. We look forward to seeing your exceedingness in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord, and then we'll be dismissed.